faithful in the kingdom of God. Everybody in their house, how many knows when they get born, they're a baby or whatever, that baby begins to grow and to develop, and if you are a good parent, you will at times begin to give that baby that's growing into a toddler or whatever, you begin to give them what? Responsibility. You start going in there in a playroom or whatever, pick these toys up. Well, how many knows they don't always want to pick the toys up? It don't matter what you want. Why? You're growing, developing, maturing. I used to tell Travis, you know, I would be a little hard on him in different things. Why? Because I would tell him, I say, son, Alabama Power don't love you like I love you. They're not going to care if you sit in the dark. All they want is their money. Why? They're not there to care about you. They're to supply you with power, right? So therefore, they're not supposed to be caring about whether you're sitting in the dark or not. Woo! Come on now. Oh, somebody must be talking about Alabama Power. Getting hot, ain't it? What's that mean? Get hot, light bill goes up, don't it? Well, it should have stayed the same. Well, cut your air conditioner off. If you want your power bill to stay the same, you cut the air off, right? If you keep the air on and it gets hotter outside, what happens? Your air conditioner unit's going to use more power. So if you're going to quit being a baby, stop griping about Alabama Power. My goodness. But when Travis was a baby, he didn't care what time he woke me up. He didn't care what I needed, what I wanted, whether his daddy could provide it. All he thought about was his self. And that's okay. Why? He's a real baby. But how many knows, as babies, born-again believers, as we grow, which we should, and develop as... Oh, glory to God. And if you're going to grow and develop, you got to have the Word, the Bible says. How many knows you got to learn to be led by His Spirit according to Scripture, Romans chapter 8. For those that are led by the Spirit of God, they're what? Babies. It says they become sons of God. So we all should be growing. Well, I've been born again, therefore I hear His voice. How you know? Ooh, nobody. Number one, the Bible says according to Romans, His Spirit bears witness where? In my mind. In my spirit. What does that mean, bear witness? That means when you look in here, there's some kind of an agreement. That means to bear witness with, right? Me and you agree, we're saying the same thing, feeling the same thing, all of that. When there's disagreement, there's what? No bearing witness on the inside there. But listen, you can't just leave it to that. Some people, they leave it to that. And how many knows you can't tell if you're really being led or not sometimes? Because how many knows the more you want something or the more you think about something or have an opinion about something, the more susceptible you are to being led by your own flesh, your own desires, your own will. So then what do? If you believe you got the bearing witness on the inside, what do now? Find it in the Word of God. If you can't find it in the Word of God, it's really not a bearing witness. See, the Bible says, don't believe every spirit. It's not just talking about what somebody's doing, a preaching or a prophesying. How many knows there are spirits, they come to you. You are a spirit. The Bible says above all things that the heart is deceitful. How many knows you can become deceived? That's why we have the Holy Ghost that's bearing witness according to Romans 8. Then we have the Word of God that bears witness to what? The truth. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says that He is the Spirit of truth, and He only bears witness with the truth. So when people tell you something, check it with the Word. Look on the inside. Am I finding an agreement about what they're saying? I have to do that for myself, Johnny. Because, I don't know. Sometimes I think I know. I have been wrong. Sad to say, I have been wrong. There's been numerous times over the years that I've been serving God. I thought this was right. I thought it was the direction, but I missed it. But if I'll go by the bearing of witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me and check it by the written Word, kind of like this. I've heard stories before about this one woman telling this preacher that he was going to become her husband. And that might have been okay. She could have got something about the Lord from it. The problem with it was he's already married. Well, we're really getting quiet now. What's the problem with that? The Bible says, don't commit adultery. The Bible's against adultery, right? So therefore, I cannot be picking up the will of the Lord and the word of the Lord when it's going against written scripture. I don't care what my desire is. I don't care what I believe. Therefore, what do I do? I test the spirits. I test the things. How many knows the Bible says in the last day the biggest thing is going to be deception? What's that mean? We got to be on our A game. We got to know Him. We got to know the Word. We got to check things, right? Just because I love you and different things, you love me or whatever, and I could, how many knows you can be so sincere but be sincerely wrong? Just because you're sincere about something don't mean you're always right. So therefore, we test the spirits. Test your own spirit. Check on your own self. And how many knows those that are around you that you're listening to or different things, like when they check it, they know. Y'all help me. You know how you help me? If you have an office and you got people that they're not just a whole bunch of spiritual babies, they'll help you. Why? Because I know when I get here, y'all are not a bunch of spiritual babies, and I better be on my A game. I better be fasted up. I better be prayed up. I better be rightly discerning the word of truth, right? How do you discern the word of truth? Well, according to Scripture, you take Scriptures and you put them against other Scriptures. You don't take just one Scripture and build a whole doctrine of a foundation on it. You can't. That's how all that mess about they can't be women preachers in the body got started. Woo! We're preaching good today. I had to deal with that, Johnny. I've had people that I knew why they got up and they left. There's been times I've had to do the 11 o'clock service. Somebody had to do Sunday school for me, and I would have to do the 11. Your pastor's not going to be here, or he's out of town or something other. Therefore, I get to do the 11 o'clock. I've had them come in. They was fine when Scotty was here, Johnny. And one of them said he was an evangelist. Come here, sit right over there. When I got up here to do the 11 o'clock, he said something to his wife. They got up and they left. I knew in here exactly why they left. And you know what I had to do? Go home and cry about it. No, but it made me check the Scriptures. Because how many knows it ain't about what I tell you you are? You better get what He says that you are and what He says that you're supposed to be doing. Why? Those times are going to come and you better have it in here or the devil will eat your lunch. He'll talk you right out of what you're supposed to be doing. So I had to get it settled on the inside of me with the Word and the Spirit bearing witness on the inside. I could care less if every one of you left. Ain't going to change me a bit. Why? I have it on the inside. That's not just for me. Every one of us, according to Scripture, God has given us callings, talents, graces, abilities, anointings. And every one of us have to grow and develop. How many knows the anointing and the grace that you walk in today may not be the same one that you have later on? That's like your pastor for an example. He got born again. We're on our way to church. Most of y'all have heard the story, but it's fine. Some of you haven't. And if you have, how many knows? You can hear it again. The flesh says, oh, give us something new. How many knows there is nothing new? This is the same book that it's been for years. The only new comes from the Holy Ghost, and it'll still line up with the book. Anyway, we haven't been saved too long, a matter of months. We're on our way to church one morning, and Scotty looks over at me, and he says, if I don't get this out of my heart, I'm going to be a preacher. Now, the only thing we know about preachers, because we was not church before we got saved, we had been to church every now and then a little bit with family members that wouldn't shut up or something like that, you know, just to get them off your back for a little while. But anyway, we wasn't what you say church or denominationalized and stuff like that. And he said, I'm going to be a preacher if I don't get this out of my heart. Well, me being who I am and knowing who he is after the flesh, I looked at him, I said, yeah, probably everybody thinks that. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. Well, I should have known, Johnny, that wasn't so, because I didn't think that. I wasn't having that. I'm going to be a preacher if I don't get this out of my heart. I never had anything about that. Well, lo and behold, we forget about that. We get on to church, and that day we have a guest speaker. His name was Brother Smart. He was a missionary to different countries and things. Never met him before. We always sit on the well. For a few weeks, we sat on the back. Then we moved up to the very front. We were sitting on the front pew, and Brother Smarty walks over there and gets right in front of Scotty, and he tells him, he said, the Lord said to tell you that what you have in your heart is from Him. We could have about fell out. Well, now we know Johnny. He's going to be a preacher. What's that mean? How many knows every one of us, if we was to ask us, probably could have a different definition of what we believe a preacher is. How many knows preacher ain't in the fivefold ministry? Woo! No, he's not. But how many knows you don't always start out in the fivefold? Why? You got to have some training. You got to have some testing. You got to have some growing. You got to have some developing. You got to learn the voice of God. Why? Just as many people as you can help, you can hurt the same amount. And how many knows all this bunch of foolishness of running around saying the Lord said this and the Lord said that and the Lord said you're this and the Lord told you to do this? How many knows that is not the thing for the body of Christ, for the leadership to necessarily be doing? Now, in the Old Testament, prophets did that. That was their thing. They was called seers, just like Saul. Y'all remember him? That was king, and before he ever become king, his father's donkeys got lost. And somebody told him, well, there's a seer, the prophet Samuel, go over there and ask him about it. Well, how many knows he took a journey, him and his person, and they went over there, and they found Samuel and all of that. And before he could even ask him, he said, oh, yeah, and your donkeys, it's been gone 3 days ago. He said, they're over here, they're okay. That was the thing for Old Testament prophets. That is not the thing for New Testament prophets today. Why? You have the Holy Ghost inside of you. So if you start trying to be led in a way by Old Testament prophets, you're wrong. Can they see things today? Yes, they do. But they do not take the place of the Holy Ghost. Their job today, other than foretelling events, is what's called foretelling and confirmation of what you've already got on the inside of you. Why? Because you have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says He's the leader. He's the guider, right? He's the teacher. Good, Grace. Let's get back to my scripture here. Let's read this again here. He says, for you, brethren, he's talking to born-again believers, right? We're indeed called to freedom. So you got born again, you've been made free. He says, only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. But through love, you should serve one another. Does that mean you got a good feeling about them? No. I can feel totally bad about you and love you. Ooh. A lot of people get married today because of how you make me feel, Johnny. How many knows feelings change after 40 years? Ask you, Pastor. I've had all kinds of feelings. But you know what love is? According to the Word, 1 Corinthians 13, everything you read, you will not find a feeling nowhere. But what you will find is covenant, commitment. It don't matter how I feel. I have made a covenant before God with this man. Don't make no difference how I feel about him. One day I feel good about him, Johnny. 30 minutes later, I could feel like I hate his stinking guts. And I've told him so. And he's told me before. But how he knows, then 30 minutes later, he's just the sweetest little thing. And kiss him on his forehead. Why? Feelings are up. Feelings are down. Feelings are... How many knows you should never make a long-term decision based on a short-term feeling? You're going to make the wrong decision every time. Why? Feelings change. Most people get married because you make me feel good. You know why they should get married though, Johnny? If you're going to be scriptural, because I want to make you feel good. I want to bless you for the rest of my life. I want to make it a blessing to you. You don't hear that much. That's how you stay married, too. I don't know what we're doing off on that, but anyway, glory to God. I guess them Facebook people needed that one. Hallelujah. But anyway, it says, don't use your freedom as an incentive to your flesh. What's that mean? Everything is about me. If I feel like it today, oh, good Lord. If I get up today and I feel led, I'm going to go to church. What scripture is that? You won't find that inward witness about that. I think that's over there in what you call First Imaginations. I don't think it's a verse or a chapter anywhere. The Bible says the more we see the day approaching, what's he talking about? He's coming. Because how many knows we are closer today than we have ever been before, in time and in age. I'm older today than I was yesterday. Time is shorter than what it was yesterday. So what's that mean? He's coming. So the more I see the day approaching, what's it say? I better be assembling together even more and provoking you guys and you provoking me, the Bible says, to love and good works. To love one another. Love says, I don't care about me. The greatest sign of maturity is the less you think about yourself. Because the more you think about yourself, the more immature you are, the more selfish you are. And according to Scripture, love doesn't think about itself. It thinks about others. It's always preferring others above yourself. Ain't that what it says? Prefer you one another above yourself. So the more that I grow and the more that I mature, Scotty told me a couple weeks ago, I don't know what we was talking about, but anyway, just it may have been out of the blue. He said, you know, he said, I see you more after people and others than I ever have. And I thought, whoo, glory to God. Do you know what a lot of people want? Boy, I see you prophesy more than you ever have. Words of knowledge. That ain't it. According to Scripture, you can have a gift and go straight to hell with it. Oh, boy. How do I know that? The Word. Jesus was over there and he told them, he said, you call me Lord, Lord. He said, and you don't do what I say. And they tell him, Lord, have we not prophesied? Come on now. Is that what it says? Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? What did he say he's going to tell them? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. A gift is not for you, and it's not because you're right with God. See, these last days that's coming, God is going to use people you would not think. And He's not going to use people that you would think. And if you're not discerning and growing and developing on the inside, in your spirit, you're going to be deceived. I'm going to be deceived. Why? Because a lot of times we got it messed up in the body. Not everybody, but there's a lot of deception out there. They think these people that come into the church or whatever or have a street ministry or something and got their big suits and all this stuff and they've been to seminary. How many know seminary messes a lot of people up? Those people in that ain't even saved, Johnny. Yeah, and the Bible says head knowledge does what? Just puffs up without love. And you can only get the love of God by being born again. It gets shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Right? According to Romans 5:5. So we have to be discerning. We got to know the Lord. How do you get to know Him? His Spirit, His Word, spend time with Him. Check everything by the Spirit witness on the inside. Check everything by the written Word of God on the inside. And don't leave it to what you think you know about the Word. Because how many knows you can read that Word and think you know it and be reading it one day and be like, bam! Be like, God, never saw that before. Where'd that? There's a lot in there you've never saw before. Or a lot in there I've never. Why, the Holy Ghost quickens. He's the revealer, right? He's the teacher. The Bible says you have an anointing, an unction from the Holy One inside of you that will teach you. And some people have run off on a tangent and took that to mean we don't need teachers in the body of Christ. How dumb is that? That's rebellious. He didn't say the Holy Ghost is going to replace the teacher. He said, I gave the fivefold ministry, the pastors, the evangelists, the apostles, the prophets, all that, the teachers. Why? For the perfecting, the full equipping of the saints, not just the Holy Ghost. But anyway, you get people with their three-piece suits on or whatever the case might be, and they've got Dr. So-and-so as their title and all this other stuff. How many knows if you ain't careful, you'll listen to them, but you won't listen to the one you knew was doing drugs last night. But they got saved this morning, Johnny. Why? Because what you see, you think that's it. The Bible says even Jesus Himself, y'all remember whenever they was having the feast, and the Bible, his brothers and them went up, and they tried to get him to go up, and he said, I'm not going right now. Y'all remember that? Then later on, he went up, and the Bible says, he disguised himself. Sometimes God will put himself in a package you would not pick. You would not think. And if you're only discerning with these natural eyes and your five physical senses, you're going to miss him. That's kind of like them songs. Y'all remember the first songs God had me to bring to the church? Ain't nothing going to break in my stride. And I believe I can fly. These people sitting in this room, they did not receive that. They do not believe it was God that gave it to me. You know why? It was a secular person that wrote it. I didn't come telling you God gave me the whole song. Let me tell you something. If God can use a donkey to talk, do y'all see the miracle in that? I've never known a donkey to talk to me, Sandy. But he saved that guy's life. If God can make a donkey to talk, means he can make a donkey useful. He can make anybody useful. But you got to discern whether it's him or whether it's not. And remember, whenever I brought him, I told you, you can listen to me, you can believe me, or you cannot. I don't care. I know. And everybody else has got to discern for theirself later. But don't look at the package. Listen to the Spirit and the Word. You hear what I'm telling you? Now, he says, by love serve one another. What's that mean? I serve you, John. I'm serving every one of you this morning. What's that mean? It means the Lord has helped me and we've cooked you up some steak and some potatoes, some hash browns and some eggs or whatever, because it's breakfast time. Whatever that the case might be. Why? So you can come and eat. I'm not getting a bit of benefit out of this other than it feels good. The anointing always feels good. But how he knows what I'm doing right? It's not for me, but by my love. Y'all help me, not just y'all, over the years. Especially when we first started. I had been sheltered, Johnny. I lived a sheltered Christian life. Now, Scotty, he had been in the field. He started going to the jail, you know, I don't know, months after he got saved. After that, it was in his heart, going to be a preacher and all that. And he went to Brother Brad and talked to Brother Brad, you know, and Brother Brad's like, hey, come home with me, and took him to the jail. Great place to take somebody, believe they're called. Because if you ain't, you're not going to last long. Them people ain't in there for going to Sunday school. And you got some real devils and some real spirits in that place. Anyway, he took him to the jail and he began to operate. But I did not, Johnny. I sat on the pew and I was quiet. I listened. Did all this. I didn't say nothing much or anything like that. And then God calls us down here, and I didn't know, Johnny, Christians could be so cruel. And say one thing out their mouth while they're stabbing you in the back at the same time. Because I had lived a sheltered life. Then we got sent down here. I forgot now why I was telling y'all that. But anyway, then we got sent down here. Let's go on with this. He says, don't use your freedom as selfishness. You have been set free to serve. See, a lot of us like to think, you know, that God just heals me or paid the price for my healing and I receive my healing because he wants me to feel better. Lie of the devil. Can you hear the selfishness in that? Thank you, Travis, for the yell. Let me say it again. Can you hear the selfishness in that? Yes, God does want you to feel better. He does not want anybody sick. Sickness and disease is of the devil. And scripturally, you can't prove that he uses it to teach anybody anything. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. If you got sickness and disease on you, it is of the devil. Jesus bore that. And anything that he bore, how many knows, God don't put it on you. But the devil will if you let him. And then when he does, you got to get it off. But anyway, he doesn't just heal you or pay the price for your healing so you can feel better. How many knows you can't serve God when you're sick a lot of times? You can't serve people. Well, there's been times that I have been so sick, I couldn't do what I'm doing right now. So what's that mean? It means I need to be healed. Why? So I can get here and serve like I'm called to. I've been set free to serve. God doesn't always give you money just for you. Come on now. Why? My money is to serve the kingdom, to serve others. And just like I've said, I don't know how many times, if you are the water hose and there's water running through you, how many knows that hose is going to be wet? The Bible says if you will water, you will be watered. But that's sad to say, you got a bunch of stingy Christians out here. How many knows that ain't like Jesus? Absolutely not. Why? He was a giver to the degree he even laid his life down and gave it for the church. And let me tell you something, you people, now I'm not just talking to y'all in here. You got to remember, I talk to people all over the world by internet, Facebook, different things, YouTube. I mean, we're on all of that. People running around here saying they're Christians, talking about the church. What you better remember about the church, when I say church, you got your local church. There's not one individual that is the church. You can't back that up with Scripture, no way you twist it. That puzzle piece just won't fit. What does that mean? When you look up the word church, it says an assembly. That means in order to be the church, you got various parts that come together, and then they're the church. Anything other than that, you are an individual member and a part of the body. My pinky's not the body. It is a member and it is a part. The whole thing you're seeing today is the body, right? Well, you got Christians, say they're Christians, running around here talking bad about the church, talking bad about the body, talking bad about individual members of the body. How many knows the Bible says, according to Ephesians, Jesus loved the church so much he did what? He gave himself for her. You better not be talking about what Jesus loves. He said, whatever you have done to the least of me, my brethren, you did what? You did it unto me. Whatever I do to you, Johnny, I do to Jesus. If I do you good, I did Jesus good. If I do you wrong, I did Jesus wrong. And the Bible says, for the husband to love the wife, how? As Christ, the anointed one, in his anointing, so loves the church. He loves the church so much, he died so she could be birthed. Until he died, resurrected, and ascended, there never was a church. He had to die for her. And how many knows when you're running around talking bad about the church, the thing that Jesus loves, he's not pleased. Kind of like this, just for an example, to help us understand. Now, Johnny, you are a married man, and Samantha already had kids. You take those kids, and you love those kids like your own, don't you? I believe that you do. Monty as well, other people all over the place have done that. And they love them kids as their own. Why? You love their mama. You may not always be pleased with their actions. I'm not always pleased with my own biological kids' actions. That's just the way it is. God's not always pleased with our actions. But you love them as your own. Okay, say I come and I do Chloe bad wrong. I just call her out her name, stomp her in the floor, whatever. Do bad stuff to her. Me and you gonna be good? Why not? I thought we was friends, Johnny. I thought we was family, Johnny. God feels the same way. You better hear what I'm telling. Why? We are all his kids. And all his kids don't always do right. And all his kids don't always act right. Come on now. All the time. And see, just because you got hurt at church don't mean Jesus hurt you. You better forgive and you better move on and you better get back to your place in the body. Why? God has a part for you. Joyce Myers calls it like this. You're drinking poison and expect the other person to die. It's not going to happen. And when you get there and you stand before him, you may go to heaven, but you're going to stand there without all your rewards that you were supposed to have got for your service in the body. Right? The Bible talks about when we get there, there'll be some of us that we have crowns. And it says we cast them at his feet. Why? Because it wasn't us. All we did was heard and obeyed. We give him the glory. And we cast them at his feet, right? There'll be some of us should have had crowns that don't. Why? Because we did not do the service we was called to do. So we're good though, ain't we, Donnie? I love you, Chloe. So we don't use our freedom as an incentive to the flesh to just run around doing whatever I want to do. I'm free this morning to do anything I choose to do, the Apostle Paul said. Ain't that right? Why? God's not a dictator. He doesn't force me to do something. That's the devil. He leads, he guides, he directs, he tells, and I'll be held accountable if I don't do it. Or if I do, I will be rewarded. But make me do something? That's kind of like I've heard people before, they just stand up and take over a service and say, I couldn't help it, the Lord made me. Liar! Why? 1 Corinthians 14 says you're a liar. The Bible says the spirit of the prophets or whoever's given the utterance is subject to that person. What's that mean? Even though God may be giving me something, I can hold it. Ooh, boy, we say, did you hear that? Moo. Y'all want some hamburger meat today? It's called sacred cows. God's renewing our mind, people. Have I not brought up scripture for everything I've told you? Is it not in line? 1 Corinthians 14 says the spirit of the prophets, or whoever's given the utterance, the prophets was just given the utterance. He says their spirits is subject to them. God doesn't make me do anything. And how many knows he will not have you doing something up just like what I'm doing right now, and all of a sudden somebody just stands up and starts blabbing out in a bunch of tongues and there's no interpretation or nothing. God don't interrupt himself. Ooh, here's another one. See, what a lot of times we have done, and sad to say, ministers have done it and taught people wrong. I try my best, but Johnny, I go back and I listen to sermons that I did 10, 15, 20 years ago, and I'm like, ah, that's awful, God, you're so stupid. That ain't even right. I mean, I've learned, I've grown, I've developed. According to 1 Corinthians 13, we all only know in part. And how many knows Katie sees something right now, and she really sees it. But how many knows 30 years from now, she's probably going to see it differently. Why? She's not the same person she used to be. In age or office of what she may be doing at the time, that just comes with time. You should be growing and developing, and it's becoming to see things more like him. We should all be getting more revelation. You can have a revelation about one thing and think, oh, yeah, that's what that means. 10 years down the road, oh, glory to God, that's even more than I thought it meant. They've took those scriptures out of context. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says over there, the gifts of the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the one, he said, that gives and operates those gifts. Well, there's tongues and interpretation of tongues over there. Then you got chapter 14 that talks about if there's not an interpreter, don't give out a message in tongues, right? And he's chapter 12 over there, the latter part, he said, does everybody speak with other tongues? He says, no. And they have used that and misinterpreted that, Johnny, to say everybody's not supposed to speak in other tongues. That's a lie. Notice what it says. These are service gifts. Service. Ministry. We need to change the word ministry to service, because when you look it up, that's exactly what it means. And people get the big head and different ideas about ministry. Listen, Jesus said, you want to be greatest in the kingdom, become the lowest servant. Well, they take that scripture over there to say, everybody ain't supposed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost speaking in them tongues. Then you got others, that's of the devil. I don't find that in the scripture nowhere either. Well, Jesus told them, Johnny, y'all go tarry in Jerusalem. They say there was over 500 of them. Now, only about 120 stayed because they, I don't know, maybe they got to missing mama's home cooking. I don't know what the problem was. A lot of them left, didn't stay. Jesus told them, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. He says, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall become my witnesses. You get over to chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. The Bible says, as they was there, that the Holy Ghost came upon each one of them. Go back and read it. Came upon each one of them, cloven tongues as is fire, and every one of them began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Every person that was in that room. That is for every born-again believer. Now you get back over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 where he's talking about service gifts that is to minister to the body or to people. No, everybody is not going to have the gift of tongues to give out in a service, and everybody's not going to have the gift to interpret what the speaker gave out. Why? Those are ministry gifts. He even says, is everybody an apostle? No, they're not. Why? All of these are ministry service gifts. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, for a man that speaks in an unknown tongue does what? Speaks unto God and edifies himself. That gift is to edify me, to build me up, and I can speak and pray with other tongues any time, day or night, that I choose to. Why? It's for me. That's not for you. Why? Because when we get here in an assembly like this, everything that is done is supposed to be for edification. Right? That's the problem that the Apostle Paul had with them over there in 1 Corinthians 14 when he's getting all over them and tell them, I pray in tongues more than all of you. But how about when we come to church? I'm not to use that gift that's been given to me. Why? I'm not the one that needs building up. You are. Or me if I'm out there. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? I should have used that gift when I was at home getting ready to come build you up. So a born-again believer, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to pray in other tongues. The Bible says whenever you pray in other tongues, your spirit prays. But your head has no understanding unless it's revealed unto you, and it's going to take faith to do it. Why? The devil said, that's not tongues. That sounds like a bunch of jibber-jabber. Do you know God don't only talk English? The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, that we can speak in tongues of men and of angels. Oh, sister, you just busted my sacred cow. I thought all angels spoke Elizabethan English or Alabama slang. Sad to say, no, they don't. Even Johnny speaks more than that. A little bit anyway, don't you, Johnny? Woo, we're getting way too quiet. I knew we were going to bust some sacred cows today. See, if we're going to do right, we must believe right. And some of us have been taught wrong by ministers. How many knows every minister out there, they're not put there by God? Sad to say, there's whole churches birthed out of rebellion. We had some of that happen here years and years ago. They wanted to start a Bible study. Scotty told him, okay, that's good. We want outreaches. Your pastor is also not just a pastor, he's an apostle. And that's one reason why he don't pet y'all as much as just a pastor does. A pastor with just the gift, a call to be just a pastor, but, oh, baby, come let me get the flea off of you. An apostolic pastor will tell you, come here, baby, let me get the flea off of you. The second time, you get over here and get that flea off of you right now in Jesus' name. And it's like, then you get out there and get the fleas off everybody else. Oh, my goodness. What was I saying, Johnny? I'm getting caught up myself here. I thought so much you don't remember. Woo, glory to God. But anyway, there's a lot of them. Oh, I know where I was at now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That's his job. And I believe him to do it. I'm telling you, he has to do me more than some. Bring things back to your remembrance, the Bible says, right? Well, it's got to be in there before you can bring it to your remembrance. But anyway, we had some here that they was called, Johnny, anointed and appointed, and we knew it. But how many knows just because you're called, anointed, and appointed don't mean you don't set yourself down and learn and grow and develop? I've heard people say, I'm not going to be no pew warmer. We never want you to be a pew warmer here. If you are a pew warmer, we're going to help you get off of your pew and get out here and get to doing something. Why? We're all called to service. So if you come here, we don't want you no pew warmer. You ain't going to stay one and stay here. That, Johnny, you know that's why some people, they don't come here? Yeah. It's too hard there. Really? Too hard? What's too hard about it? I was just thinking yesterday how the gospel has been so watered down by a lot of people to where now if we don't just dampen it on down, Johnny, to where you don't got to use no faith, you don't got to exercise a lick of discernment, you don't even got to halfway have a relationship with Jesus because we just got to break it all down for you and we don't expect you to do anything. We want to do all your praying for you. We want to do all the visitation of the sick. Hogwash! So it's too hard here. Not according to Jesus. Not according to the Apostle Paul. Not according to the Scriptures. But anyway, back to my story. Keep getting sidetracked. Anyway, they was going here and everything. And listen, I'm not telling this story to point out anybody. I'm making it for a point of purpose. Not about the people. A lot of what they did it in ignorance. Because they was babies. And a lot of what we did, we didn't always do everything right. Why? I didn't know how to be a pastor's wife, Johnny. I kind of got thrown down in here, and this, here we go. Learn how to be led of the Spirit in all you do. And everything I did and said was not right. But anyway, they wanted to start a Bible study. Well, according to your pastor, that's just great. Why? Apostles do foundational ministries, pioneer them. He just loves new ministry. He wants y'all in the nursing homes right now. So y'all just get ready. Anyway, stay on my story here. They want to start a Bible study. Your pastor, he just loves it. He's in agreement with them. Going to back you up, whatever y'all need, what you want. Well, they wanted the church, Johnny. And Scotty prayed about it, and he just didn't feel. And we had just acquired this building down here. And he didn't feel. And when he prayed about it on the inside, you know, it was feasible for them to come and have a Bible study here in the church. One thing is, and not being led by that, but one thing is, you got three air conditioners. Four now. But at the time, three air conditioners that you go and run for a Bible study. When you could have one window air conditioner down there for your Bible study until it grows and develops, if God's leading, till you got to have the church. They did not like that. You're not backing up my ministry. What? Your ministry? I thought this was all service unto the Lord, number one, at what he says. And number two, how many knows you don't go against your pastor, your leadership? Where in the scriptures does the Bible says, even though the mom and dad is not right, the child is supposed to rise up against them and take authority? Same thing in the kingdom. And that don't mean your pastor or leadership is always right, because sometimes they're not. They're human and they can miss it, and that's what forgiveness and grace is for. But you should be sitting under leadership that is under the subjection to the Holy Ghost, right, in the leadership of Christ. And when they have, you know whether or not they have a heart for you or not, and a heart for the Lord. But anyway, that was scratch number one. They did not like that. So anyway, they didn't want to do that, so they carried their little Bible study to their house. Well, this went on. They was having it for a little while. I forget what nights they was having it. But anyway, Scotty just felt to go to one of their Bible studies. He shows up one night unannounced, you know, because... And they didn't announce it at church, Johnny. They went to the few little individuals they wanted at that Bible study. Darkness! Light exposes, right? Light puts things so everybody can see. God is light, ain't he? If you're operating in darkness, you don't want nobody to know what you're doing. You only want certain people to come to your stuff. You're in darkness. Anyway, they went to certain people, wanted certain people to come to their Bible study. So Scotty felt one night, he hadn't felt led to go over there before or whatever, you know, trust them, they do their thing, you know. And we knew they was anointed, you know, and pretty well versed in scriptures about certain things or whatever. Anyway, he just feels led, he shows up one night. You know what that whole Bible study was the whole time he was there? They was sitting there using scripture and talking about and biting and devouring the people in the body. Was it not? Lets me know exactly why God didn't let them have the church, don't it, you, Johnny? Well, later on, they started going to individual members, and they never went to nobody in my family. They never went to Sandy. They never went to my mama. They never went to my granny. They never went to anybody that they knew that might tell me, but they went around to everybody else in the church that was going to church here at this time and let them know they was leaving here and starting their own church. Darkness! Rebellion! Why am I saying this? You've got whole churches out there. They are built on nothing more than pride and rebellion, and you better be discerning. Every church is not God. Every person is not of God. And sometimes they can look and sound so close. Well, lo and behold, we did not know this. They was doing that at the time, Johnny. Well, some other things come up or whatever, and they didn't like some decisions and different things like this. Listen, the lady, she was selling Avon at the time, and she came and I got to stop with this. She came and she asked me, could she put some books back there on the table, Avon books. And I love her, and we're friends, and I really didn't pray about it or nothing, you know. And I said, well, you know, I really didn't like it, but I said, well, that'll be okay. Johnny, she didn't put a couple of books back there. I come in the door one day, there is 12 Avon, I'm not kidding, I counted them, 12 Avon books on that back there. I walked in that door and that hit me on the inside. You remember whenever Jesus went and turned the tables over? Why? It's not because of what they was doing. They're selling and making money, not right. That's what hit me when I walked in that door. And they was off on their missions trips at the times. They wasn't here. And I tried to leave it, but every time I walked in and out that door past that table, that was bothering me. There's times things bothers leadership because it's bothering God. They don't even know why it bothers them. Just like the little hat deal where the hats was bothering me here a while back. I could care less. Somebody asked me, you know, if I come to your church, what do I need to wear? I said, just don't come naked. I don't care what you wear. Just don't be naked. Well, hat wearing doesn't bother me. I don't care. But how many knows God cares? But anyway, to make a long story short, because I've got to stop. My time is up. They went on. They went to all of them. They left the church. Didn't tell us nothing about it. Didn't want prayed for, you know, and have the blessing of the church behind them or anything like that. They going out there doing their own thing. I think they lasted just over a year. And I don't know what they're doing now. But the point to all that is we got to know God. We are His sheep. We hear His voice. You may just not always know it's Him. But how many knows the more you hear His voice and the more you learn His leading from the inside, not out here. The Bible says Satan's the god of this world. He gets involved in all this out here. 3 red cars, 4 purple chairs. But he can't get involved with right here. Gosh, I got to stop. Scotty's going to be all over me. And I usually like to stop in time for a little bit for y'all to say a little bit of something if you're led to or whatever, but I've got to stop. Y'all get the point anyway, don't you? Of something out of